Hey, this is Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. On today's episode, we have a very special guest here to talk about erotica and the power of oral seduction. I just want to remind you that you can submit questions for future episodes by going to PleasureMechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. While you're there, please check out our complete suite of online courses designed to help you become a masterful lover and have the amazing sex you crave. Go to PleasureMechanics.com, check out the courses, and use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of our online courses. This is Chris with Pleasure Mechanics, and today we are thrilled to be joined by Rose Caraway. Rose is a writer, editor, blogger, narrator, audiobook producer, and a podcaster. She celebrates all things erotica and is fondly known as the Sexy Librarian, who curates sexy stories for her fans. Her two podcasts are the Kiss Me Quicks Erotica Podcast and the Sexy Librarian's Blogcast. Her new book, out from Cleus Press, is The Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica, and it's a collection of some of her favorite erotica short stories, and it's been keeping me company on my bedside table in recent cold winter nights. We are thrilled to have Rose joining us today to talk about erotica. Thank you so much for joining us, Rose.
Oh, thank you. I am so excited to be here. What an intro. Wow.
Well, let's dive into that intro. How did you first get interested in erotica, and what prompted you to start sharing this passion online?
Ooh, good question. I think I've always been kind of the erotic sort. I learned very early on that sex was good for me. It felt good. I was very intrigued by it. And the writing of erotica just sort of naturally happened from there. So from a very early age, I just began writing the erotic dreams that I would have. It seemed like every single night. And then, I just kept writing and writing. And, you know, eventually whenever I was of age and met my husband, I offered him some of these stories that I had written, and he very, very much enjoyed them. And it was his suggestion that we begin a podcast, and I would narrate some of these stories that I had written, and who knew that there were other people out there that would enjoy them. It was terrifying and exciting kind of all at once. But as it turns out, there's a lot of people who enjoy sexy stories. So it worked out rather well.
And how long ago was that?
That was, I think it's coming up on 4 years now. It's been a while. It's been a while since we started the Kiss Me Quicks erotica podcast.
So I'm fascinated by this idea that you offered your stories to your husband as a gift. How did he initially react to that?
In my favor. it was mutually beneficial. He knew that I had, I wrote. So, and it kind of appeared on the outside at first as just kind of like journaling. But then whenever I said, no, I'm actually writing, you know, the erotic stories that come to me in my dreams. And so he was immediately, you know, the guy that he is, Mr. Horny Man, he was intrigued, and he's like, oh, I want to read. So I offered some to him, and I write with a lot of variety. It's not just always these romantic stories, you know, between a man and a woman. Sometimes there's monsters or creatures or, you know, really high-tensioned situations. And I think that that's probably what pulled him in first, was that it's not the typical romance, which is what he kind of expected, you know, from me being the girl writing. When it wasn't, he was very happy with that. And we, together, he and I listened to Mia Martina's podcast. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's I Want Your Sex. And she wrote stories about true events that happened to her. And so this was like her journaling podcast. And so we listened to that, and we thought, oh my gosh, she's actually putting her stuff out there. Well, let's put erotica out there. You know, it attracted quite the fan base.
Hmm.
And why do you think women are interested in erotica when we hear from so many women who have a really hard time getting interested in sex, have lost their libidos? Do you think erotica is a primary way that women can find their way back to their sex drive?
I think maybe, yeah, because at least for me and many women that I've spoken with, they need their brains to be turned on. You know, with a guy, it's very easy to be physically turned on or just to see something and be turned on. And, you know, there are plenty of women out there who can be turned on by visual stimulation or tactile stimulation, but we really need our creative sides kind of stroked, you know, to be kind of put in the mood. You know, we're working all day too, you know, raising the kids, you're exhausted. I know firsthand. So to be able to relax and get in that creative mindset, you know, it doesn't have to actually be something that they would have to do. You know, it could be anything from sci-fi to horror to romance. We need that creativity to help kind of get us into that lubricated mode, I think, very often. And erotica is prime equipment to help in that department.
And do you have a sense from your listeners how they use erotica? Are they reading it just before sex? Are they reading it kind of throughout the day just to get their fantasies going? Do you see any patterns there?
I would say my audience is primarily the audio audience, so they would be listening. Now, it's an interesting thing because you can read it and immediately get turned on and go from there, or especially if you're kind of seeking information or, you know, you want to broach a subject of maybe trying something with your partner, you know, you can listen at the beginning of the week or over the weekend and then kind of let it sit and kind of build some momentum or, you know, help you ask questions and do some research online. And it can last for a week or a month or however long, you know, if you're wanting to try something new. It doesn't have to always happen right away. I think that that's the beautiful thing about erotica is it can, but it doesn't have to. It's kind of, it's to your own pace. It's beautiful that way. I love that.
And you also produce audiobooks of erotica stories. And I'm curious how you experience erotica differently when you're listening to it versus reading.
Interpretation. So the style that I read in will draw listeners in, and that it's so easily accessible is really key because, you know, I talk to people all the time and everybody agrees. We're just in the fast-paced world where we're finding it harder and harder to set aside time to read. You know, there's many of us that do read before bed. I'm one of those. But at the end of the day, it's so you're exhausted and it's hard to keep the eyes open. So it's nice to be lulled with some audio erotica. It's being kind of injected into your brain, if you will, if you can understand that. It's right there and immediately available, and it just turns you on in a closer fashion. There's something magical that happens when you're being read a story, and I think that that's the difference between audio and reading it yourself.
Yeah, just the act of reading aloud is so beautiful. That to have the opportunity to have someone read us an adult story, an erotica story, is somewhat comforting in a way and kind of opens you up to allow your fantasies to go wild. I've listened to podcasts when I'm doing dishes or when I'm driving. These times in our life where we can fill with something extra is such a good opportunity to allow yourself to be turned on. And I listened to some of your narration and you've got such a beautiful voice and bring so much character to it.
Oh, thank you. Yay. Thank you very much. I really, truly appreciate that.
I'm curious from the process of reading, you know, it's probably been hundreds of thousands of words of erotica out loud now. Have you learned anything about erotic communication or talking dirty in bed from this part of your work?
Yes, erotica works differently for every single person out there. There are some people who like very sensual language, very flowery, come on, that literary classic style. There are so many people who love that, and I adore it too. And to be able to translate that into audio is so fun. And then there's other people who like kind of that high impact, that affecting language. It's so vast and varied that I really truly enjoy mixing it all up because it touches more people that way, you know, and from day to day, your tastes will change. You know, you might want something that's kind of heavy, a little dark BDSM. And I say dark, but it, you know, it just depends on which, you know, BDS or M that you're hearing. There's so many varieties out there. It's crazy, ridiculous, and so exciting. It's interesting because I myself read so many words, but I still find that they turn me on because I seek the variety. I don't just stick with one subgenre. I really, truly think that variety is key.
If you are interested in checking out some of Rose Caraway's beautifully narrated erotica, go to audible.com. And as a listener of Speaking of Sex, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download of your choice with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Audible.com is the leading provider of Audible books across all genres. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player of your choice. Go to audibletrial.com/pleasure. Again, that's audibletrial.com/pleasure for your free audiobook. And then search Rose Caraway and you will find her complete library of erotica.
And in your new book, The Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica, I noticed that you have a lot of different subjects as opposed to other anthologies that focus on one particular theme. Mm-hmm. Was it important to you to stretch your readers and expose them to new ideas?
Yes. It's kind of based on the Kiss Me Quick's Erotica podcast. I offer everything I can get my hands on, anything that I can write that turns me on, that turns my husband on, that people have given me feedback. I would love it if you could do a cuckolding story, or I would love it if you could do, you know, something with a little bit of gut-wrenching romanticism and reality. You know, we are diverse creatures. We're not just living a fairy tale lifestyle. Some of us might be, but not all of us are. And to be able to offer that variety was so empowering. It was so exciting to find that erotica authors out there are like, yes, thank God we can write to our strengths. We can write to our passions. We can write what we're good at and not have to be limited. I find that erotica is vastly unlimited. It is boundless. And that's what I wanted to offer people, was a book that wasn't stuck with horse blinders on. I wanted to open up worlds to people. And I think I did that with the book.
Yeah, you definitely can always find something new in these pages, whether that be horror or sci-fi. Sometimes we don't think that these genres can be erotic, but your authors have definitely proven that you can blend these worlds and bring eroticism to different styles of writing. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, when you think about how many books you read, how much fiction you read, or how many movies you go out to see, all of that can be translated into an erotica format. And I can't say that loud enough or often enough. People don't realize, it's amazing. They don't realize how that can possibly be. They think, no, it's just going to be smut. No, it's just going to be pornographic. And I want something that's going to involve my brain. There's got to be some brains involved here. And I like to expose people to that, that you can find action adventure. You can find the tearjerkers, the comedies and the horrors in erotica.
Definitely. And we all have those movies that we wish had extra sex scenes, and we can use our imagination to inject those scenes into the stories that we've heard. And one of the things I love about the stories in your book is they have kind of real depth of emotion and the range of human experience, which reminds us that our sexuality is part of everything we do. It's not just confined to the bedroom.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Quote that.
And here at Pleasure Mechanics, we hold a strict boundary between fantasy and desire. We like to remind people that fantasy is the world of erotic imagination where anything is possible, whereas desire is what you want more of in your actual life. And we've talked about before on this podcast how reading erotica can both inspire new fantasies and help you name your real desires. And so we really love it as an educational tool in that way. And then on the other hand, sometimes I feel like erotica sets really high expectations where people try to recreate these stories and then run into real life boundaries and mishaps. How do you think about that tension between storytelling, inspiration, and people's expectations around their sex lives?
I'm sure that there are countless oopsies out there.
Yes.
But, you know, you have to learn through experience. One of the things I like to let people know, to tell them, is that you cannot base your life on fiction. Fiction is not an instruction manual. It's, when it comes to erotica, it's an eye opener. It's a door opener. It allows you to ask questions because these stories are based on little bits of things that are possible, but you know, it's not. You cannot base all of your desires, oh, I want this, on some erotica story that you've just read. You are placing a lot of expectation on your partner or yourself. Like you're going to be let down if you think that this is going to go exactly as the author has written it. But I do think that it allows us to go, I wonder, you know, particularly with BDSM, I think that that's probably where most people go. Fantasy, yeah, you're not going to get, you know, the minotaur that's going to come into the room and take you and whatever manner it was written in the story. But you could get your, let's say, female partner to wear a strap on that you've not done this before, but this minotaur story got you hot and you thought, hey, let's maybe do some role playing or something fun. You cannot let this be a prescription for your sex life. You can let it open your desires. And there are people who truly believe that erotica authors need to be responsible writers because, you know, like with the 50 Shades of Grey, people are learning that BDSM doesn't happen this way. I haven't read it, so I'm just kind of regurgitating what I have heard other people say. But I do agree with that. You cannot. It's like with anything. You can't think that a movie that you watch is how real life is going to be. It's just not possible. Life is dirty. Life is gritty. Life is messy. And there's a ton of mistakes that happen. So I will fight for the ability to let authors be creative and not have to hold the world's they're not responsible for everybody's actions. So I think if there's a little fiction tag on there, then people need to understand, okay, this is not a prescription for the sex that needs to happen in my bedroom. It's just an eye-opener to maybe adventure, but you need to do some research on how to do it properly and safely.
Right. And we like to remind people that, you know, you can go to an action movie and enjoy the explosions without ever wanting to be in an exploding building. And you can read erotica and fantasize about things that you never really want to do in your everyday life. And yet we still get contacted by people who have what we call troublesome turn-ons, where something thrills them in fantasy and then they get kind of morally upset about this, that they find it so erotic to read things that they find kind of ethically questionable. Do you ever run into that feeling when you're either reading other people's stories or from your audience?
Yes, definitely. I've gotten some 1-star reviews on my podcast, if you can believe that, because there are people who want to be informed. I think if you are a reader and you are informed that, let's say, this anthology is going to contain a fairy tale with a girlish type figure like Little Red Riding Hood and Emily Bingham's A Perverted Fairy Tale, there are people who would prefer to be prepared for that rather than discover that she's got, you know, the frilly gingham dress that's in her little, what are those shoes, the patent shoe?
Mary Jane's,
yeah, she's described, but she's not actually a girl. She's not a child. She's a very well-endowed woman. Or, you know, like in my story, The Mating Chamber, I have a woman who, or a society woman, a matriarchal society who has captured men and are going to use them as sex slaves to procreate. That is it. There's like no love there. But maybe at the end there might be. You know? So I do attach that on there. But there are people who would prefer to be informed. And that was kind of what the card catalog was partially to be used for, you know, to give you an idea of what you're about to get. Like, well, it's fiction, you know. You write about murder and mystery, and horrendous events happen in Saw 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you have to be able to, you've got to know what you're in for, because it is fiction, and people do get, they do get a little pinched when it hits a little close to home for them.
Right, and sometimes the things that shock us the most can also turn us on. What is your process in terms of thinking? So this was your first anthology, right?
Yes.
But you also share erotica on the Kiss Me Quicks. Do you tend to stick with things that turn you on, or do you try to include things that are beyond your comfort zone? Like, how do you curate that for your audience, knowing there's such a wide range of interests?
It's pretty easy on my part because I am so open-minded. You know, I think that fiction should be free, that you should be allowed to be turned on by consensual, non-consent. I think that we should be allowed to push boundaries because we have the freedom to write, and you should be able to write what you'd like. And so, you know, you don't have to go around and telling people that you, or tell everyone you love incest stories, for example. That's a huge deal for some. And I don't prefer them. I've not written one, but I'm not going to axe it from anybody. So I do have to find some sort of eroticism within myself to present the story, because I won't be able to present it effectively, I don't think. If I don't believe in it, or if it doesn't turn me on, then I won't be able to offer it to my best abilities. So, you know, one of the things that I did, I just talked about this on another interview, I don't find any sexual pleasure in blood. Playing with blood when there's people being cut and stuff like that. But I do find that biting can be an erotic adventure. You know, and so I wrote a story called Bite Me, and it's one of the earliest stories, not the best written or read, but it's one of the earliest ones. And that's the very first one that I got the one-star review. Someone did say that it was camouflaged as, you know, erotica is hiding domestic abuse. So my characters liked biting, and they liked a heavy, kind of angry sex life. And they were partnered, and the male character was trying to get away from that because it was becoming abusive, and he was not enjoying it. But he did, at the end of the story, find someone who did offer him the biting and the binding that he could enjoy. So I do believe that it is worth exploring in an erotica fashion. You know, I didn't go and ask my husband to, okay, I want you to bite me as hard as you can, draw blood and see if I'll like it, because I just know within myself that I wouldn't, that I don't like pain like that. Spanking is fun. I do enjoy that. And so I will incorporate that, but I do enjoy pushing my own boundaries, because I believe that that's okay. It's okay. It's safe because it's fiction. It's not real. There aren't actually people being harmed. So,
yes, and it's the safest way to explore some of these things for sure and see what turns you on. I'm curious, you've mentioned writing erotica and sharing it with your husband, sharing other stories you found with him. Are there other ways that you think couples can incorporate erotica into their relationship to heat things up, to create a spark?
Just that in and of itself. If you, you know, you don't have to be a professional writer. You don't have to be a published author to write up or draw up a real quick scene, something very simple. I mean, it's so easy. It's really easy because everyone can imagine something. So if you put some words on a paper and off, you know, fold it up, slip it into, you know, the briefcase or the pocket of aprons or whatever. I don't know. I'm probably going to extremes here, but slide in that little something and it becomes, it's amazing. It's so magical. It offers you the opportunity to maybe suggest something. Or if your partner said, God, I've always wanted to try blindfolding, but it kind of terrifies me. I don't like the idea of not being able to see what's coming. To show your partner that it's okay, it'll be safe, I promise, you know, whatever. Write up a little scene and offer it up and show that it will be fun. It could be fun. We don't have to do it right now, but here's a little extra something to let your imagination kind of help feed the reality that could be.
Mm. Or how about in the copy of a book, taking notes in the margins and putting a post-it note and leaving it on their pillow as some bedtime reading.
Absolutely.
Or once the lights are out, you can read aloud to each other and both kind of paint the pictures in your imagination. Yeah, I think there's all these ways that we can use this source of creativity to become more creative in our actual sex lives, which, you know, we all need to keep things interesting in the long term.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you know, I write a little bit of erotica in all my spare time as a new mother. And sometimes I find it to be the most difficult kind of writing, particularly because our language for body parts and sex acts is pretty limited and sometimes can feel pretty crass. I'm curious what some of your favorite writers do with language to write successful erotica that feels fresh and interesting.
I think you have to kind of start with the style that you're going for, that subgenre that you're going for. So if you're writing something that's a literary classic, then you know you need flowery language. I think generally overall, simplicity is best. It's easier to understand. You know, if you start describing a cock as a pulsating purple-headed meat rod, that might be a little distracting. So unless that's the entire story, unless that is the what you're going for, that, what do you call it? Whatever your context is, keep the language strict to that context. Don't go overboard. If it distracts, it's not great. You want to keep your readers or your listeners in the scene. You want to keep them captivated. So I find that oftentimes simplicity is truly best. So call a cock a cock, call a pussy, and it's okay. I always tell people cliches are cliches for a reason. They work. And it's, yes, they've become old and you want to, you know, mix it up and you want to discover a new word. You want to create a new language. Well, good luck with that. That's very hard to do. But simplicity is best.
Right. And I found, you know, using simplicity for the body parts and then really trying to bring the language to describe how things feel and the emotions and the experience of sex, that's where you can get poetic and enjoy transmitting a specific feeling through language. Mm-hmm. And I think particularly body parts, female genitalia just has very few good words for it. And words like pussy or cunt, some people love and find really hot and other people feel really offended by. And I guess as an author, you just have to use the language that feels good to you and know you're not going to hit a home run with everyone.
Absolutely. You will not. It is impossible to please 100% of your audience. Everyone should always know that. Keep that in mind. You know, it's so interesting because we're seeing a turn of the tide with the word cunt, especially. And I'm finding that less and less women are offended by the word cunt. Like they're understanding that it's not in this context being used as a derogatory term, unless that's what's happening between the characters. Mm-hmm. And if that's what's happening, then obviously that's, you know, that's not the story that they want to read. You know, they want something maybe a little softer or gentler in language. So if you're writing romance, you probably won't use cunt. You would probably use something else. It's interesting because I'm also finding that people are starting to switch from cock to dick. And that's really interesting. And I think that penis is probably the least used, and I kind of prefer it that way. It's a little clinical, I think, so I enjoy that personally. Yeah, we don't need to keep using the word penis. The one thing I would advise is you don't want to use the same word over and over and over and over. You don't want, obviously, like five cocks in one paragraph. So that's where creativity and language will come. You know, you don't always have to say the object or the tool that's being used, you know, you get on the receiving end and say what's happening.
Unless it's an orgy scene.
Unless it's an orgy scene, which is very hard. That is a very challenging scene to write. You know, who's what, where's what, what?
It's like the experience of being in it. You never know who's what. And what is next for you? And what would you like to see more of in the field of erotica going forward?
The next thing we've got going over here, is I am producing the Rose Caraway's Dirty 30 audiobook. It's strictly an anthology that's audiobook only. It is not going to ebook. It is not going to print. Because my audience is the audio audience. And I think that more and more people with every single person practically in this world has their smartphone. I think that the accessibility for audio, whether it's fiction or erotica fiction, that is the way people are going to go get their books, is through audiobooks. And I want to feed them. My lured listeners out there are constantly on the road and, you know, doing their chores and shipping kids here and there, and they need time to remember that they are a sexual people. And so I'm going to feed that. I'm working on Rachel Kramer Bussell's The Big Book of Submission. I am almost done narrating that, and then production will begin. And I would love to put out another Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica, because I think that I'm a little different. My anthology is variety. That's the strength of the book, and I would love to be able to help people get a little more of that. So those are the three big things that I'd like to see happen very, very soon.
Perfect. And what is the difference between your two podcasts? Can you break that down for us?
Absolutely. The Kiss Me Quick's Erotica podcast is Erotica. That's the storytelling podcast where I narrate erotica that I have written or erotica that I have found from other authors that I adore and that have given me permission to read their short stories, that my husband produces through Stupid Fish Productions. We inject music into it, and it's like a radio show, oh my God, it's just so great. It's my baby, and it's 100% free. So anyone can subscribe there and get really great quality entertainment of the erotic nature. And then the Sexy Librarian's Blogcast is my podcast where I get to actually interview the authors that I have featured on the KMQ, or other authors that I really, really want to help promote because I believe in their writing. I've also interviewed sex positive community leaders there. So, and I do hope to get some more people, like I had Sinclair Sexsmith on the show, and a couple of times, and those were great interviews. So that's my nonfiction section, if you will. That's where I get to interview people.
Perfect. And if our listeners want to hear more from you, where is the best place to find you online?
The best place to go is thekissmequicks.com. They can go directly to iTunes from there to subscribe to the KMQ podcast and the Sexy Librarian blogcast from there. So thekissmequicks.com.
Perfect. And we will include those links in our show notes over at pleasuremechanics.com. Rose Caraway, thank you so much for joining us. And everyone, go grab a copy of The Sexy Librarian's Big Book of Erotica and let us know what your favorite story was. Thanks so much, Rose.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
And again, just to remind you, if you are interested in listening to some beautifully narrated erotica as you drift off to sleep or on your long commute, go to audibletrial.com/pleasure and you will get a free audiobook download of your choice. Again, that's audibletrial.com/pleasure. It's a completely free trial of the audible.com service. Again, audibletrial.com/pleasure, and we'll link that up on the podcast page as well, and you can find that over at Pleasure Mechanics. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Cheers.